Thank you, Frank, for being a guest on the Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall. It's lovely to have an opportunity to sit with you and have a conversation about the heart of connection to self, others and all that is.
Right, an absolute pleasure, Mike. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Frank, just by way of introduction, do you want to give a brief story on, or not that too many of us in Geelong need a story, but
who are you? You know, I'm a Geelong born and bred boy. I can only praise this town up to the highest. The people that came before us that worked hard and contributed to make Geelong what it is today has been a boon for all families coming into this town. And I've always said that it was Australia's best kept secret, Geelong, because the lifestyle living here and the ease of raising a family, the lower cost of housing compared to Melbourne, the quality of education in Geelong from primary school right up to tertiary, the wonderful health services we've got at all levels, the recreation facilities, everything that goes to make up Geelong means for a family that want to raise their children and educate them here and perhaps get them into lifetime employment, you won't find a better place in the country or any country for that matter. So, you know, I'm a absolute dyed-in-the-wool Geelongite.
And you're well connected to Geelong.
Absolutely. I started off that way. I was born to parents that ran a business right in the centre of Geelong, a fruit and vegetable business, living upstairs in a five-bedroom apartment on top of the shop. So I got connected with people very early in my life, with all the shops around us, with the suppliers coming in, with the customers. And I learned very early that the most important asset any organisation's ever got, whether it's from family through to business, through to sporting activity or community activity, the most important asset is not the money or the buildings or the computers, it's the people. And to be connected to the right people makes life so much more fulfilled and so much easier. And you have to make a bit of an effort to be connected to the right people. You've got to earn that, I suppose, that distinction of being part of a good group. But every time something crops up, you need help, it's there for you. So I learned very early that that was the best way to go. And I'll say, Mike, that my mother, who was my mentor, she was a great lady, my mum, she told me this very early in the piece, and you could see how interested I was in the young girls coming into the shop, that the most important decision I would ever make in my life was the person I marry. And don't just go for good looks and charm, go for the values of the human being. That will that person be the mother of the children that you'd be proud to have as the mother of your children, or doesn't she have those qualities? If she hasn't got those qualities, just move on. So I did that, and I was very fortunate to marry the right girl, given mum's advice. And we've had a fantastic life, Mike. We've got 8 daughters, 22 grandchildren, a second great-grandchild on the way. So no broken marriages for the 8 girls. It's all been fantastic. So I only say that my mother's advice was fantastic. And as I decided to develop the business, again, I realised the need of good people and forming very strong connections with good people. Good, talented people in business don't need your job because they can get a job anywhere. So you've got to have more than just their pay packet at the end of the week to make sure they want to be part of your organisation. So it's got to be an organisation based on good values where people respect each other, and the communication within the organisation has got to be first class. That way you do attract good people and you keep good people. That's been wonderful for me to build the business, to get people with more talent than I've got in certain areas and weld them into a team. Requires the connectivity, if you like, of people with respect for each other. That was a great help to me in building the business when I took over the Geelong Football Club when it was in a pretty bad way. In fact, a real bad way. It was virtually finished. It was just gone. And I realised the same disciplines we had to bring in. We had to find the very best person to run the show, which we did. We got Brian Cook away from Perth, from the Eagles. He's a man of such strong values. He attracted good people. And his connectivity is fantastic, and his communication with his staff is great. So we built a great club with good people both on field and off field, and the rest is now history. That's really good. The same I applied to the advice I gave my daughters and what they've been able to develop with their families, and they've gone into business. And so it's been a real good success story, not through any special ability, but by being able to relate to other people who can help you in developing your goals, providing it's a two-way street and that there's benefits both ways. You can't try and get all the benefits one way.
When you talked about the values that you carry, or that, you know, Brian Cook carries, are the values an intellectual thing, or are the values also intellectual and heart?
They are both intellectual and heart. It's that caring factor, that respect factor, that makes a difference. If you go down the Geelong Footy Club, for example, now, wherever you go, they've got a smile on their face. Doesn't matter which level, whether it's the ground management, whether it's the social club, the restaurant, there's a smile. People love being there because everybody is respected. And probably the toughest thing for Cookie is that the AFL and other clubs keep trying to pinch our top people because they're well trained, they're well developed, and they do a good job. Steve Hocking's running the football department for the AFL right now. Justin Reeves is running Hawthorn as CEO. Stuart Fox is running Melbourne Cricket Ground. So they've got into pretty good jobs coming through a very good system.
Where did you learn the process of connection? Was that through your mother? Was it through your family that you learnt that process of connection?
That's where it started. It did start through my mum. My mum was always very respectful to suppliers as well as to customers and to other people, and she was highly regarded everywhere, and I thought that wasn't a bad way to develop yourself in your career. So I did try to follow mum's advice and mum's example. And then I learned myself that in building the business and trying to make sure you get the very, very best out of the opportunity, you need good people around you. And to do that, you've got to be able to connect. You've got to be able to have a communication that is two-way and has got benefits for both sides. And when my brother and I bought my parents out, I was only 21 and Adrian was 19. And we were pretty cheeky young blokes, and we wanted to get into the wholesale distribution business. And so we started off wanting to be the best in Geelong. And we were lucky enough, I suppose, that we picked up some good customers and we got to that position pretty quickly. So then we wanted to be the best in Victoria, which was a bigger challenge because we got to beat the big Melbourne fellows. So that meant we had to have some really good people with us. And so then we started realising we've got to be worthy of getting the best people to come along and work with us. So we achieved that, then it was the best in Australia, and then we wanted to be the best worldwide. And it sounds a bit stupid. I think, how can a young couple of brothers from Geelong achieve that? They can't achieve it unless they get the very best people in the world working with them, unless they can communicate, and not just with the people who work with them, but the people they need to buy from them and the growers they need to supply them. So connectivity in our industry was critical, because to get the product from the farm, and the farms were all over Australia, all run by different people, to all parts of the world so that you can grow your business like that, you can't do it on your own. You've just got to have good people and people who trust you.
Do men call in business the connection more, do they call it networking rather than connection?
Well, they don't use the word networking very much in our industry. And they don't really use the word connection much either. It's just developing through trust and performance. Performance-based, don't just rely on what you're going to say you're going to do, but do it, and do it well, and do it to the level of expectancy from the either the grower that's supplying you or the overseas buyer that's buying it from you. So it's a... If you can develop trust, we learned very early in the piece, you develop loyalty. And when you've got loyalty, that further develops the word trust. So you've got something that's unbreakable. You've got to do something really silly to break the connection. But it's all about connectivity.
Is there a difference? Have you experienced a difference between men and women's connection?
Well, there is a difference. I haven't experienced much of it with the women's connection, because the fresh produce industry has been totally male dominated all the time, which means I was terribly unsuccessful in producing a successor out of my family, because I had 8 girls and no boys. And those girls are pretty smart girls, and they're doing their own things and doing it quite well. But in fresh produce, where you've got to go out and kick the soil on the farms and rub shoulders with the sharks in the markets and what have you, it's really been dominated by males. Now, that may change in time, but it hasn't changed yet.
Do men and women have different ways of connecting?
I think they do. I think women connect with their heart more than what men do. Men are naturally suspicious of each other, and they've got to sort of prove their trustworthiness and reprove it time and again. To get that real loyalty factor that you need to build your business, women, I think, can sit down over a cup of tea and a bit of a chat, and they can strike a chord with each other much more quickly than what men can.
Is that to the disbenefit of men, that we're like that? For our mental health, our well-being?
Probably, because what it does do, it gives the odd guy that's got the ability to persevere and win the trust and support of the organisations he needs to grow his business, it gives him a bit of an advantage over the average male, right? Whereas with females, a much higher percentage of girls can actually connect and connect well. So I suppose I'd have to say that, because the male world is one that doesn't connect as easy as they could and should, it gives the ones that can connect easily an advantage.
Because we men don't connect as well as we could connect, is that causing problems for the world, do you think? Is there is that problematic?
Well, it is problematic. You've only got to look at the world stage at the moment. You look at what's happening in America with their president at the moment, and the way he doesn't connect too well with the other major global forces like China and Russia. His lack of connectability, if you like, I think is a very negative big thing in the world. And you could follow that through with most countries and organisations. We don't connect nearly as well as we should. We don't build word trust as well as we should. And that makes it harder for everybody.
And if the country in that connection, as you were just talking about, that connection is really important between countries, not just from a personal perspective, but from a country perspective, becomes more global.
Absolutely. I look at when I see America and China locking horns, I think how that could hurt Australia, because China is terribly important to Australia. They're a great customer of ours. We're enjoying in our business enormous support from China and supplying product out of this country. We're also got farms. We're operating our 7th farm in China at the moment, growing berries for the Chinese market. And it would be a tragedy if that got damaged, because up to date, the Chinese-Australian relationships have been great. There's fantastic trust there, and we're able to supply freely into there and buy freely out of there. Now, how you can prevent something happening if Donald Trump and the head of China came to a locking your horn situation, which meant that because we're such great friends with America, China got disillusioned with Australia too. Well, that could hurt a lot of people in Australia. And it would hurt our property market. The Chinese come buying a lot of property here, investing a lot of money in Australia, and that all helps, because we're a tiny country of 24 million. They've got 1.3 billion, I think it is, people over there. So they can be a huge support going forward.
And that connection between countries, is that also at a level of world peace as well? Through that connection, do we then improve world peace?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in that. If you've got a good relationship with another country and you're able to talk freely, honestly, and believably both ways, then the chance of getting off the rails into coming up with another war or something like that are minimised tremendously. So it's...
What advice would you give to men in you know, young men coming through about the need for men to connect?
I would just say take the time to get to know the person. Don't just go on what you've heard or what you think you might have seen. Get to know the person. And the more you get to know him, the more you probably get to understand him and realise he's not a bad bloke. Can I trust him? You'll soon find that out. And if you can trust him, then there's benefits both ways.
Would that then improve men's disconnection?
I think it would. There's a certain reserve with men, built up from an early age, I think. So unless you can break that reserve down, and there's an old saying, when I remember when I was a kid, I don't know that person over there, I must get to know him better. And amazing, when you get to know him better, he's not such a bad fellow. Right?
What do you get to know about him? Do you get to know a different side to that fellow?
Well, you do. You get beneath the veneer. Most guys have got a veneer of bravado about them as they grow up, and they want to protect themselves behind this veneer. But if you can get through that to the real human being under the skin, then you find out that that person has got some very good qualities, generally.
Are we getting to their heart then?
Well, that's exactly right. you're spot on, Mike.
Yeah. And I'm wondering whether, has it been the male social conditioning that's created some of that bravado?
Yeah, it has been. It comes when you're growing up at school, when you're playing in the school grounds, you're playing footy or cricket, and you've got to be the toughest and the bravest and all that sort of jazz, and you've got to run through the other kid.
You can't show anxiety on a football field, could you?
Not at all.
You couldn't show your vulnerability on a football field.
No, it's not. Well, you're gone if you do, in everybody's eyes.
And so, yeah, and it's, which is really interesting, because what we're sort of starting to see in society now, more discussion around mental health, more discussion around anxiety, more discussion around vulnerability, fragility. You know, sometimes we're just not going to cope. How do we men need to work with that differently, do you think?
Well, first of all, I think we've got to understand the damage that's being done when we allow kids, and probably boys more so than girls, to grow up with a feeling of insecurity about them, which so many do. You talk to Jeff Kennett, and he put a lot of effort into Beyond Blue for very good reasons, and you realise the percentage of our population that has a very low feeling of self-esteem and bordering on the word depression. And you realise how terrible that burden is to carry through life. What can we do to change that? We get to know the other person better, get to understand them, get to communicate with them, and get them to understand that they can be as good as anybody if they just believed in themselves. You can't do that by having a drink or switching a switch. You've got to do it by communication.
Do we need to teach them to connect to themselves to believe that they are good?
Yes, you do. You do. Self-belief is an enormous advantage if you've got it. And you'll see the odd kid that's got it in spades. Some have got too much of it. They get a bit over the top about it. But others sadly haven't got it. And I see it with my own grandchildren. There are some that have got no self-belief at all, and some that have got buckets full. So you've got to help the ones that have got none, and they can be helped.
How do you connect to the grandchildren that don't have the self-belief? How does grandfather connect to them?
Well, I sit down in a one-on-one with them and just have a bit of a chat. So tell me what you're worried about. Why is that concerning you? Why do you think you can't do that? Tommy or Jimmy or Billy can do it. Tom and Jimmy or Billy are no stronger or faster or smarter than you are. And they'll get the kid to start talking. And it's communication again, which is what you're on about, and it's very true. So as you discuss it and they put the problem on the table, it might have been one giving them self-doubt, and you discuss it properly and you pull it apart. You try and give them the idea that they can be as successful as anybody else if they have a go, if they believe in themselves. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. That's all you need. I was told that when I was a kid, and it's very, very true.
Is that what you did at the Geelong Football Club?
Yeah, well, we went down there, first of all, I was invited by the previous president, Ron Hovey, to come down and take a position on the board. And then I was asked to set up a new board because the club was completely broke, it was gone, which I did. Well, I knew from my own experience through life, that if I was going to win against these terrible odds, the AFL wanted to take football away from Geelong. Our stadium was completely run down. And the banks didn't want to support us anymore. We couldn't pay our bills. I just knew we had to have the best people. We had to have the best leader in sports administration. That's who we got with Brian Cook. Then we had the best board, first of all. And I put a group of seven together and won a big election, which was a great start, because if we had unity, then we all believed in each other, and it was just great. And gradually, with Cookie at the helm, we changed the leadership positions in all areas of the club, got the right people in, got them communicating extremely well across the board, and away it went. And so that's an example you could use anywhere.
The Geelong Football Club would be, we'd have to sort of say, it'd be the heart of the community at some level.
It is, it's like the soul or spirit of the city, if you like, because it is truly representative of this city, whereas all the Melbourne clubs, they're all over throughout the different suburbs. But this is just Geelong down here, and it's been a big thing. And when the club came good and resurfaced with a premiership in 2007, the spirit and morale of this city just went right up through the roof. It was terrific.
Yeah, the soul did increase, didn't it, in this community? What was that like for you to be part of that uplifting of that spirit, that community spirit?
Well, I've got to tell you, it was probably the best feeling of my life. At the MCG, on the Saturday afternoon after the final bell or siren, when I walked around the MCG, I was walking around about 20, 30 metres in from the fence, watching the players go right round, and the joy of the Geelong patrons and shaking hands and having a hug or a kiss with the players was just sight to behold. And I said to myself, this is as good as it could ever get. And I was wrong. The next day down here, we had all of our members and supporters come down to the stadium. We had 36,000 on the oval, which was wrong. We were out of whack with the rules. We had too many. And I'm up on the podium saying a few words, looking at the sea of blue and white. It was just sensational. The little kids were over the moon, but the old people came up to me, and I had comments from several different people thanking me very much for what we've done for the Geelong Footy Club. I'm ready to die now, was the comment. I never thought I'd see a premiership in my lifetime. And I said, whoa, 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 don't die just yet, because these kids are so good that we got playing for us. We might get another one or two yet. But I had to say to myself, I've never been as pleased and as moved by people as I was that day down here.
Did you transcend? Was that a moment of transcendence to really connect into that spirit, the community spirit, with everybody else?
Well, it was certainly a reinforcing of it, believe you me, because some of the people that came up to me, tears running down their face, men as well as women, and the joy that they had received with the Geelong Football Club, finally after 44 years missing out, coming home with the
flag. How much did that touch your heart?
Strongly, very, very strongly it did. You'd have to be made of concrete for it not to, believe you me, because people were just so, and little kids, they were just so happy, over the moon, and all these blue and white scarves and beanies and badges was terrific.
So that's a connection beyond the self, connection to others. Is it beyond the connection to others to a deeper connection to that? You know, you talked of the spirit, the soul, the...
Well, it can be. I certainly do believe in a God. Mm-hmm. None of us know what that God is, looks like, or... But I do know there's a... In my opinion, there's a superior being that's organised all this. This moon doesn't go around the earth once, and the earth go around the sun once. And all these planets not crash into each other without some, in my opinion, powerful force organising all of this. So, yeah, I try to connect with that spirit, or that God, and I ask for help. And I've got to say, throughout my life, and I've always asked for help every time I've got myself into a tight little situation, and I've always got the help. Now, people could say that's just coincidence, but I don't think it is. I just think it's always been there for me, if you ask for it.
What's it like when you do connect to that level?
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling, and one that makes you feel pretty humble, actually. Why am I receiving these benefits? Why does everything I ask for get answered? And it always has. I don't think any single being is probably worthy of that, but the old saying is, asking, you shall receive. So I just keep asking.
Is our society becoming more disconnected from that space that you've just shared with me?
Yeah, sadly it is. It is. And I don't know what the answer to that is, because I think if you have that connection, whatever in your mind the Supreme Being is, if you have that connection and you've been given a pretty good run through life and you're a fairly happy person, and if you haven't got that connection and there's no real meaning for this life to you, then you're not as happy a person. I'd rather be a happy person than an unhappy one.
And when there's meaning, there's more purpose?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And with that more purpose, there's more connection to self?
There is, because there's a reason to play the game straight. There's a reason not to, as a married man with family, go out and fool around with other women, which we're seeing in the papers every day lately, people destroying their careers and their homes and their families, etc. So there's a real reason for it, and there's a big benefit. So, yep, play with a straight bat, life's a lot easier.
And kick the ball, as Sam Newman would do, straight down the centre.
Yeah, straight down the centre.
Don't muck around the rings, just go straight down the centre.
Correct.
Is it important for men to be having conversations like you and I are having today?
Well, it is, simply because these sort of conversations, and if you have a conversation with some other fellow, and I do with another fellow, they help bring men back into a connectivity fold, if you could put it that way.
Because underneath our bravado is our humility.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that humility.
No. In fact, it's one of the things that's treasured mostly by people these days. When you see a person who's successful that's genuinely humble, that's a great feeling.
Mm. Amazing space, isn't it?
It certainly is.
How do we get rid of that male bravado?
Only by example, I think.
And I'm wondering whether the, you know, I know this might be a really small part of it, but the shift in the AFL, getting rid of all that aggressive, hard, you know, bravado play, where they're slowly, you know, chipping away at the change in men's behaviour.
Yeah, well, and they're a great example, the AFL. They are realising, for many reasons, why that bravado and that rough play has got to go out. The number of concussions and the aftermath of concussions 10, 20, 30 years later is starting to surface now as being a real worry. So that's one reason to get rid of it. Another reason is it's not the sort of play that people want to watch, that people want to come and see. Half our members are female, and the ladies don't like to see somebody's brains getting knocked out on the football field. So all round, in order to look forward to having a fast, strong game that people enjoy coming to watch, that is not damaging to the human being, that's not setting young boys up for a lifetime of disability, that's huge. And also the fact that it becomes more watchable, more enjoyable, raises the TV financial situation to the clubs, and also raises the attendances. So it's in everybody's best interest, I feel, and the AFL are trying very hard to turn that around.
Yeah, and I think the AFL would have a massive fight on their hands if they ever tried to get rid of the Geelong Football Club.
Yeah, they certainly would.
Yeah, because you're taking the soul, the spirit, that essence of one of the essences out of this community.
Well, in all this earth and all the sporting organisations there are, like Gaelic football, soccer, gridiron, rugby, you name it, the Geelong Football Club and the Melbourne Football Club are the two oldest still running continuous football clubs on this earth. Mm. Melbourne beat us by 9 months. They started in 1858 and Geelong started in 1859. And that's a fantastic record that those clubs, through terrible times, World War I and II, recessions, depressions and what have you, they've been broke so many times, but the community has come to the rescue every time they've been broken and should have gone out the back door. I think that's a very strong message that this is terribly important to people. Have a club that they can belong to and connect to. And you talk about connectivity. When you go to a football match and you see people that don't even know each other shaking each other's hands, having a hug and joy because the team's just won or whatever, it just shows it is important to human beings.
Yeah, it's an amazing spirit, isn't it? That's the people put down their bravados, they put down their barriers, and cut across those barriers with that spirit, that joy of the success or the joy of the win, or even, you know, the hard game that they played and lost.
That's right.
And when you look at in the Western District, when you look at how important sport is in the community, you know, you got your netball, your basketball. There is a great deal of connection through there. Is there anything further, any other advice you'd like to give to men in terms of the heart of connection?
Well, there's one thing I could say, Mike, and that is through sport is a great opportunity to lift the standard of well-being in the minds of young people coming forward, which are our future. And I'm noticing that netball and football in Geelong are being really addressed by an organisation called Just Think. Mm-hmm. And I'm patron of this organisation. And they go around to the clubs and they talk to them about looking at their mates. Have a look, and if your mate Johnny or Tommy or Susie or Sally don't quite look right today, aren't quite, have a talk to them, ask them how they're feeling, what's going on, is there a problem? And if you find something that's not quite right, you go and tell your coach, whatever it is, and they get onto this organisation and they come and they talk to them and they help them. That has started to be really of great benefit, and it's spreading. Other towns and cities around Victoria and even outside Victoria now come down and ask if they'd go and apply them, their operation up there. So I think that's very, very good.
And to add to that, you know, because when you ask them how are they feeling, they might privately open up and connect that they're not travelling too well.
Yeah, if it's one of their mates, that's right.
If they're one of their mates. And, you know, that's one of the issues with a lot of, for men, is that emotional connection. The heart is emotional connection.
That's
and
right.
We men are not very good at traversing that landscape yet. And by having these programs of Just Think is a forum into helping young men open up about what's going on at that deeper emotional
level. Well, that's right. We have a silly belief deep in our psyche that'd be showing a weakness, and we don't want to show a weakness, so we put a bravado up in front of ourselves, and that only adds to our bloody discomfort. We just slip a bit deeper down into a low feeling of self-worth
and disconnection.
That's right.
To self, others and all that is.
Exactly.
Frank Costa, this is the second time we've connected before. About 18 years ago, after I saw you in Anglesey that Saturday, you said, that'd be a few years ago, and I counted back. It was probably 18 years ago when you became, you were the first speaker at the inaugural Father of the Year Award in Geelong, and that award's still going 18 years later.
Time goes quick when you're having fun, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Thank you, Frank, for the opportunity to come and talk to you about the heart of connection to self, others and all that is. I really appreciate your honest views, and it's lovely to, again, continue that connection with you. I remember meeting you many, many years ago, and, as soon as we met, you agreed to come and be the inaugural speaker, and I just there was a connection there straight away.
No problem, Mike. I've enjoyed it very much, and
appreciate
all the very best.
Thank you, mate. Well done.